Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for inviting me to say a few words to you on Easter Sunday morning. I've got such lovely memories of our church weekend away together, the subsequent visit that Anne and I were able to make to you in Marcham. And I do hope, and indeed I do pray, that your Easter worship at All Saints today will be full of the joy and the power of the risen and living Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for inviting me to be a part of it, even from a distance. How wonderful. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And speaking quite personally, Easter is always the high point of the Christian year for me, but maybe especially so this year, when so much has been thrown at us through the period of the pandemic, and life has felt, if we're honest, like a long year in a kind of Lenten wilderness. But we're reminded at Easter that Jesus defeated all that the forces of darkness could throw at him. And he rose as conqueror over sin and evil and darkness and even death itself. That he is alive and alongside us in all the hard stretches of life's journey. And that nothing can separate us from his love, even death itself, which is now and always will be a defeated enemy. I think we need reminding of that this year especially, don't we? And I do wonder whether one of the abiding messages to us from this past year, when so much has been stripped away from us, is that our relationship with Jesus, risen, ascended, reigning, living, is the irreducible and essential heart of our Christian lives and of the life of the Christian church. And in a sense, we've always known that. It is fundamentally true. But when we've had to live without our church buildings, without our fellowship groups and our church meetings, and so many of the things that can end up consuming our time and our energies, it has become doubly clear that, to coin a phrase, what really, really matters, and that can never, ever be taken away from us, is our walk with the risen, living Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. Is that at least a part of God's word to us through this pandemic? That we keep Jesus front and centre in our lives and in the life of the church? And you know, if that's the case, then we need to be very careful about how we rebuild church once the COVID storm clouds have passed over. That we don't try and reconstruct, so to speak, a predictable and familiar past that we're comfortable with, perhaps, but that we have the courage to follow the risen Jesus into an unpredictable and unfamiliar, perhaps even uncomfortable future, however risky that might be, and however vulnerable we might feel. I like the Archbishop of York's vision of a simpler, humbler, bolder church, with Jesus at its centre, unencumbered by some of the clutter that we've been able to put to one side during the period of the pandemic. And I have to say that if we can keep Jesus front and centre, then I'm very hopeful that we will emerge all the stronger from the stringencies of this last year. So friends at All Saints Marcham, may the risen Jesus bless you richly in the adventure that's ahead of you as you follow where he leads you in the years to come. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Happy Easter, Marcham. It's lovely to be with you again on this Easter Sunday, and I've been asked to give just a short reflection on what Easter means to me. And I think I can describe that, well, in three ways, really. I've been thinking about how Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. And, of course, he's the way to the Father. We can only come to know the Father through Jesus Christ. And I've been thinking of what his way is this Easter. And, of course, his way is the way of love. He demonstrates, he proclaims the love of God. And he does that, of course, on Good Friday. On Good Friday, we see him on the cross. It's the evidence of God's love for each one of us. Jesus himself said, "Greater love hath no man," and he lays down his life for them. And of course, that's exactly what he did for each one of us. And when I'm going through a really difficult time, I think that thought of Good Friday, of Jesus on the cross, tempers all my anger and frustration. It's difficult to be angry at someone who's hanging on a cross for you. And that's a real source of comfort for me. So Good Friday tells me about the proof of God's love. Easter Sunday, the empty tomb, speaks to me about how Jesus is the truth. He's the way. He's also, of course, the truth. Because without the resurrection, Jesus would merely be a wise man. He'd have some great sayings that might be helpful for life, but ultimately, his claim to be the Son of God, his claim to be the one who alone knows the Father, would, of course, just be a claim. It's evidence of who he is, the Son of God. It's evidence of his divinity, but it's also evidence that death has been defeated. Easter Sunday is, of course, a day of hope for us all. So as I think of Easter Sunday, I'm filled with hope. And I know that when he says, "I'm going to be with you to the end of the age," he means it. The final thought is that he is also the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And the thing is, sometimes in church, we get stuck. We look at Good Friday and Easter Sunday, and we stop there. But of course, what follows Easter Sunday is Ascension and Pentecost. And that's where you and I get the opportunity to join in with Jesus' very own work of proclaiming the kingdom and building the kingdom. And we get drawn into it and empowered to follow God's call with the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so Easter, I know I'm cheating a bit, but Easter Sunday for me is about God's love on Good Friday, the truth, the demonstration, the evidence of his power and authority on Easter Sunday. And finally, actually, it's about looking forward to Ascension and to Pentecost, when we can join in with his work, filled with the Holy Spirit, bringing love and bringing hope to all those around us. Have a great Easter. See you again soon. Bye-bye.
Well, dear friends in Marchem, I am bringing you greetings from Southern California and wanting to tell you how much we miss you. Kai is not with me today. Kai's stepmother died 9 weeks ago, very suddenly, from a brain aneurysm, and she has been with her father. It's about 8 hours from here up in the Sierra Nevada. She's been with her father for the last 9 weeks, and I have not seen her at all. It's been very much a tough time for us. She is going to stay and support her dad for a while, and it may mean another move for us, which was completely unexpected. So I'm going to do a really short reflection. Tamron wrote and asked if I'd do this. I said, as long as you'll take it solo. I want to reflect a little bit with you about what Easter means for us, for me, particularly this season. And maybe just share a couple ideas with you about what God is working out in us that may be true of you. As I reflect on this particular season and the Easter Lent season we're entering and going through, I am trying to keep in mind the power of letting go. A lot of what God has been dealing with me particularly about over the last year is letting go of things and letting go of my false expectations, letting go of things that I expected. As you know, we moved home in July of 2019. So this has been a long season for most of us where it seems that God is pruning us, sort of shaping us in a new way. That's what the COVID pandemic has felt like to me, a lot of shaping. So let me get to this. Easter being a new season of life, there's, I don't know what you're expecting out of the after the pandemic, but there's two things that I feel are the lessons for me. One, I need to embrace the challenge of taking the bigger risk in God and falling into the loving kindness and mercy and grace of God in deeper ways. So there's a risk in that. I'm not really sure what that means for my life and my ministry, but I've got to take that risk. And secondly, there is the, well, as I take risk, I'm acutely aware of the resistance that grows up inside of me. I'm resistant to some of these changes. So risk and resistance are two key thoughts for me during this Easter season. COVID has meant so many things for so many people, loss, separation, and you can fill in the blanks. But I got a quote here from a poet, David White, that I'd like to read. He wrote this in a poem called "Everything is Waiting for You." It's the last line. "All the birds and creatures of the world are unutterably themselves. Everything is waiting for you." Risk means being willing to figure out what beautiful questions have been waiting for us our whole lives. And are we really willing to let those questions come into our lives and probe us? Am I willing to die to what I think I need or I want in my life at this stage? And as I do, am I willing to let this new life, this new promise of Easter, sweep over me? And am I willing to fall into that expectation of new life in Christ? God has more life, more love, and more of himself to give us than we can possibly imagine. But do we really, really believe this, or do we resist it? Am I willing to say yes to this new horizon that God is bringing? And I'm wanting to encourage you as friends to keep trusting God for your life and in new ways and new horizons. The drama of life is always risk and resistance, risk and resistance. But to love or to adore God means giving the deepest part of ourselves to the one who has no beginning and no end, and who is the ground of all being. So I'm going to close this little talk with just a quick reading from Scripture. You'll know this verse. This is Hebrews 12, 1 to 2. "We are surrounded by so great a cloud of people whose lives tell us what faith means. So let us run the race that is before us and never give up. We should remove from our lives anything that would get in the way and the sin that so easily holds us back. Let us look only to Jesus, the one who began our faith and makes it perfect." That is, to me, the best way I can express this new expectation, letting go of what might hold us back. God bless you and God keep you. Bye.
Well, here we are. Hello, Marcham. We were with you about 5 years ago. We still got a lovely home in Marcham. We're Andy and Emma Dipper, and we're based at All Nations Christian College. And we'd just like to answer a few questions that will just help us to connect with Easter. So the first one is, what does Easter mean for you this year especially? And I'm going to ask, Andy.
It's, for me, it has to be all about hope. Hope, hope, hope. That's what we're looking forward to. Of course, there's always the talk of Easter hope, hopefulness, even bunnies and Easter eggs. But actually, more than any time at all, more than any season, I think, in my life, 2021 Easter is all about hope. How about you?
Well, last Easter, I remember we were doing a sunrise service And it was the five of us because we couldn't do it with anyone else, which was okay. But I remember the recording had this COVID cough over the edge of it, because we had all just had it, but we hadn't really recognised it because it was in the early days. And so, yeah, definitely hope. And then I would look at creativity. That actually, I think this year has in going through what we've gone through, released us into creativity. Not because it's a good idea, but because God, the Creator God, made each and every one of us image bearers of a Creator God and made us creative. And I think that's absolutely grown in incredible ways this year. So next question, what do you sense God may be saying to his church at this time? Go on, Andy.
I've got three words, and they are agility, certainty and confidence. Agility, the ability to, I think pivot was a word often used in the early part of the pandemic, but really making sure that we're able to be agile, to be adaptive. But the certainty part is that we have to know scripture to be true and relevant, and we have to know our Bible. You know, there's no shortcut to really knowing God's word and knowing what it means for us in everyday life. And that confidence, not arrogance, not an overconfidence, which is about saying I'm more important than anybody else. We know that all for sure, that actually in the pandemic there's been a lot of challenge to that whole thing of confidence. But actually for the church to be truly confident, a voice which is relevant in our time, that for me is a really important I think a really important message that God is saying to his church at this time, to be confident.
And I would add to that, because that's wonderfully positive, I would add to that, lament in love. Mm. And I really think that lamenting as community and showing that we can do that with love, affection, understanding, solidarity will really bring the good news together in that time. So I think we need to look at creative ways and real ways and authentic ways to lament in love. And it might not be COVID related, but it's ways of actually acknowledging the wider losses that people have had, and really and doing that through and in love.
Mm-hmm. So my turn to ask the third question to you.
Okay.
So how will our shared resurrection life look different after COVID?
I think we've sort of partly answered it, in a sense of we've talked about hope and creativity and the ability to find your confidence and certainty. And agility, and those all the words that we've mentioned so far. But what does resurrection look like? Well, it looks like the fact that we're no longer dead, that we're very much alive. Mm. And what does living look like in today's world? Well, for me, it looks different every few months because everything keeps changing. You know, we're at the stage where we have girls who should have left home back at home. And then those who are home wanting to not be at home because they should be somewhere else. And then we've got others who have left home and who are even married, but would love to be with us because we miss each other. And so I think looking forwards, it's looking to really share the living message of Jesus in a world where it has been sometimes been stolen of that because the message has been dark and death has been lingering. And so I think to really live that life, that resurrection life, how do we do it? And it's up to actually us as church to think about the how, and it will be different for each and every one of us.
And it's about not being afraid, isn't it? Not being gripped by fear. That's at the heart of it. So suggest a key word, a short phrase or a motto to carry us forward in faith and hope.
Well, I'm going to go back to an old motto that we used to use often when we were in March, and because we had the wonderful Lucy Hefford living with us, and we had Sam Lee as well. And we were quite a full household. And Lucy used to say, comparison is the thief of joy. And it was a quite a useful phrase to use, as you can imagine, in a household of young women. And we often harp back to that, and we often like to quote Lucy. I would add to that, and Lucy would like to think she's been quoted as well, but I would add to that, comparison is the thief of joy and it's the thief of healing. I think when we've been through what we've been through and we continue to go through, that when we compare our loss or our tough bits of life with others, we often belittle it. It's a very British thing to do, is to go, oh no, but I'm not suffering as badly as so-and-so. Well, actually, God wants to heal us at each of our points of need, be it very extreme or be it in an internal voice in our minds and our hearts. So I would say that let's not compare each other. Let's not be stolen of joy that is had in recognizing who we are in Jesus. And as we see and compare ourselves, let's not do that. But let's look forward with healing into this new year after Easter.
I totally agree. And if there's only one other phrase that I would like to add to that, it reminded me from 1 Peter 2 verse 9, when we're all called to be the priesthood of all believers. We've all got a job to do. But if you look back at the old King James Version, we are to be described as peculiar people. Peculiar in the sense of making a difference in our world, and partly standing out, being different from others, but also being confident in the hope that we have, firmly fixed in our knowledge and experience of Jesus, stepping out into this world and not being afraid of being who we are. So that's what I would say.
Yeah, great. Well, it goes without saying that what do? We really miss you.
Yeah.
And we wish you with you. We still see you as our home church and our home, of course. And we've got dear friends there. So thank you for letting us share these Easter thoughts.
Lots of love to you all.